Welcome to Grace in the Shadows. This is Dr. Marla Beeler and
Dr. J.
Dr. Jonathan Beeler. Well, hello, everybody. Hope you are doing well today. We'd like to give a quick shout out to Arlington, Texas.
That's a great name.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a lot of Arlington.
Are there?
Arlington, Texas, Arlington, Virginia, Arlington, Maine.
Oh, really?
Well, no.
Oh, there's
but there are. Okay. I happened to look it up.
You did, because I know there's Arlington, Virginia.
There's 21 places in the U.S. named Arlington.
Oh.
There's Arlington, Wyoming.
Okay.
Population 25.
Oh, no.
Arlington, Illinois. Arlington, Arizona. Arlington, okay. Kentucky.
Wow.
Arlington, Iowa.
Okay.
Arlington, Indiana. Arlington, Kansas. Arlington, Oregon.
Oh.
Arlington, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Arlington. There's a lot of them, and you can Google it, and you can read them yourself.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I don't think there's an Arlington, Maine, though.
You don't think so?
No.
Well, that's awful.
There's definitely in Arlington, Texas, and Arlington, Virginia, but there's 21 in the United States.
Look it up.
Named Arlington.
Yeah, you might have that on a Jeopardy question one day. All right, you can check us out at graceintheshadows.org. You can text or call 251-244-4645. Or you can email us at drjonathan@graceintheshadows.org. All right. I hesitate to ask.
I got some.
Of course you do. Yeah, sure.
How do mice floss their teeth?
Oh, no. I have no idea.
String cheese.
Oh, my.
Now, every time you're going to picture this mouse.
mouse
getting up and flossing his teeth with
string cheese
in the mirror.
Okay.
Got another one.
Right. Of course you do.
How do you cook an alligator?
I don't know how.
A crock pot.
Oh, no. Do you remember that time we tried to eat alligator? We had bought some alligator at that seafood restaurant.
Well, we went to the fair one time, the state fair, North Carolina State Fair.
Yeah.
And I had an alligator sandwich.
Okay. I'm not talking about that time.
It was really good.
Yeah.
So I figured alligator sausage.
Yes, we got alligator sausage.
Would
yes.
be tasty.
Right.
It was gross.
It was nasty. And I kept thinking of the little alligator swimming in the water. I mean, I don't do that with fish.
Let the alligators go.
I don't know why I did that with alligator. Anyway. Okay. Okay. Well, I do have a couple of interesting facts.
Okay.
Turkeys were once considered...
Bok, bok.
Yeah.
You don't go bawk bawk. What do they say?
Okay.
All right.
Turkeys were once worshipped as gods by the Mayan people.
Hmm.
The Mayan people believed turkeys were the vessels of the gods and honored them with worship. That's a little unusual.
But, you know, we kind of stereotype turkeys.
We do.
We kind of make fun
of them.
They
taste good, though.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, if you really look at one, they're kind of majestic.
Okay. Well, you can.
In their own interesting way. They kind of hobble around with their own feathers.
All right. Well, you can have that opinion. All right. Another fact is fox tossing. Fox tossing. It was once a popular sport, popular with Europe's elite during the 17th and 18th centuries. Fox tossing would involve a person throwing a fox as far and as high as they could.
Oh, I bet you a couple of things come to mind.
Yeah.
Bet you that fox was scared, and I bet you a lot of them got bit.
I would think so. I think that's kind of cruel. So,
flying fox.
Flying fox.
That is one. Huh?
Well, flying foxes, those are
bats.
Yeah. But
they're
they didn't throw bats. They threw foxes.
Okay.
Okay. So, what's our topic?
We're talking about first. We're back in David again.
Okay.
David, 1 Samuel 25. We're talking about David, Nabal, or Nabal. It's pronounced two different ways. I've heard it. And Abigail.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead and read verse 1.
All right, 1 Samuel 25, 1. Now Samuel died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him, and they buried him at his home in Ramah. Then David moved down into the desert of Paran.
So Samuel died. Samuel was a great man. He was a man of God from his very young age as
mm-hmm.
a kid.
Yes.
He dedicated his entire life to serve the Lord, Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
He died. You know, no matter how good of a person or moral of a person one will be or is, We still inherit the sin nature, and yes, we still need salvation, and we still physically die. And,
right.
And that is what happened here with Samuel.
Yes.
So all Israel gathered together and lamented. They mm-hmm. lamented. They cried for him. They wept. Interesting, the Hebrews had a tradition mm-hmm. where they would even pay for mourners.
Oh, wow.
It could be a profession.
Professional mourner.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
They didn't have to do that here, though.
Yeah. Samuel was very much loved by the people. I mean, he touched a lot of lives.
And so he was honored. He was celebrated. Samuel had a remarkable, spectacular heritage that he left.
Mm-hmm.
First Chronicles 9 tells us he was the one who put together the Levites and the service of the sanctuary, which was completed by King Solomon and David. He was the one that began collecting treasures for the building of the temple in Solomon's day. And Samuel was the one ultimately used as a vessel to choose and King Saul as king,
mm-hmm.
although really he didn't want to. The people did. And God said, go ahead. And ultimately, he would be the one that would choose David.
Right.
God would use him to choose David as king. And so he had a remarkable heritage that I'm interested in seeing someday in heaven.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine sitting down and have a conversation with him about his ministry? That'll be really cool.
Yeah.
So many people I want to talk to.
Yeah.
In heaven. Yeah.
Yeah. I have one that I want over all of them.
Jesus. Absolutely. Yes. Most definitely.
Go ahead and read 2-3.
Okay. A certain man in Maon tomato, tomato, who had property there at Carmel was very wealthy. He had 1,000 goats and 3,000 sheep, which he was shearing in Carmel. His name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. She was an intelligent and beautiful woman, but her husband was surly and mean in his dealings. He was a Calebite.
All right. So a man was very rich here. It's not a sin to be rich.
No.
But it's a sin to be the lover of money.
Mm-hmm.
This guy had a lot of sheep.
Right.
And a lot of goats.
Yes.
And four kinds of creatures that really affluent people had during mm-hmm. those times.
Mm-hmm.
And he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now, this was about harvest time for the sheep and for the rancher. It was the time of gathering the sheep, shearing, all that stuff. It was a time of lavish hospitality towards others as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the name Nabal, you know what it means?
I do not know what it means. Oh, actually, I do know what it means. It means fool, right?
It means fool.
Yes. Yes.
God in his sovereignty,
mm-hmm.
I believe he chose our names before the beginning of time.
I think so, too.
For the foundation of the world.
Yes.
And this could be either that mm-hmm. or a nickname.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
I kind of think it was a nickname.
Probably was, because it says he was surly and mean in his dealings. So he was not the most pleasant of people. So maybe that's what people called him, because he was so rude.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so he was of the house of Caleb.
Mm-hmm.
The house of a dog. Basically, Caleb signifies a dog.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That was not a compliment.
No.
It was actually an insult.
Right.
Now, Abigail, his wife, mm-hmm. this is Abigail, a woman of good understanding and beautiful in appearance.
Yes.
Her name means, do you know what it means?
I don't remember that one.
Cause of joy.
Oh, nice. So you got a fool and joy.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got tomato, tomato.
Yeah.
You got
all right. Light Very and different. Yeah. Light and dark. Definitely. I would say that.
She was beautiful.
Yes.
Abigail was beautiful and wise,
mm-hmm.
and Nabal was opposite.
Right.
The Bible says that Abigail gives Abigail great praise
mm-hmm.
with beauty.
Right.
There's some other ones in the Bible that the Bible says was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know any offhand?
I know the Judge Deborah. She was very wise. Was she called beautiful?
It didn't say she was beautiful.
No,
she
but it says she was very intelligent, very wise. I'm drawing a blank.
Okay. How about Rachel?
Rachel? Yes. Yeah. Eve was fair. Eve was beautiful.
Didn't say she was, but actually Adam did.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Bone of my bones.
Yeah, so I would. Yeah.
God
created
this hot woman out of my body.
Right.
Flesh of my flesh. Yeah, he basically said that, didn't he?
Esther. Yeah.
Yeah. She won the beauty contest.
Yeah, won the beauty contest. Yeah. All right.
So what in the world was she with him for?
Could have been an arranged marriage, maybe.
It probably was.
Yeah.
All indication it was.
Okay. Right.
Read 4-9 about these characters.
All right. While David was in the wilderness, he heard that Nabal was shearing sheep. So he sent 10 young men and said to them, go to Nabal at Carmel and greet him in my name. Say to him, long life to you, good health to you and your household, and good health to all that is yours. Through what verse?
To 9.
Okay. Now I hear that it is sheep shearing time. When your shepherds were with us, we did not mistreat them. And the whole time they were at Carmel, nothing of theirs was missing. Ask your own servants and they will tell you. Therefore, be favorable towards my men since we come at a festive time. Please give your servants and your son David whatever you can find for them. When David's men arrived, they gave Nabal this message in David's name. Then they waited.
So David is doing a great service here.
Yes.
I mean, he was helping him out. He performed, protected the flock.
Mm-hmm.
He helped shear.
Right.
And all he wanted was a little food.
Yep.
For his men.
Mm-hmm.
So David sent 2 young men
mm-hmm.
to ask politely. This was all out of respectable.
Right.
Let's find out what Nabal says.
Well, and going back for just a second, I mean, they had done the shepherds service by mm-hmm. protecting them. I mean, I'm sure being out in the field with the sheep was probably not the most safe profession. And so they had helped him out by, you know, protecting the shepherds, protecting the sheep. So Nabal should have been thankful.
Should have been.
Okay.
Let's see what he says.
All right. What verses?
10-12.
Okay. Nabal answered David's servants, who is this David? Who is this son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. Why should I take my bread and water and the meat I have slaughtered from my shearers and give it to men coming from who knows where? Mm. David's men turned around and went back. And when they arrived, they reported every word.
Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? Is this guy?
Not very smart. Mm-mm.
He knew who he was.
He knew who he was. He's just being rude.
You know, David was probably the most famous person in Israel.
Yeah.
And this was Nabal said this as an insult.
Right.
Horrible insult to David.
Definitely. Yeah.
And refusing to recognize him as king.
Right. Mm. Mm.
So
not very smart.
Yeah. There are many servants nowadays who break away each one from his master. And Nabal deepened his insult.
Right.
You know, implying that David was simply rebellious.
Yeah. Basically calling him kind of a crook, really. Yeah.
Shall I take my bread, my water, my meat, my shears and give it? And what did Nabal do here? Showed that he was a very ungenerous,
very
hateful human being.
Definitely. He got that name fool for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, you would think here, because I don't want to let David totally off the hook.
Okay.
Because remember last time we talked about David and Saul and how David could have taken Saul out, but he
left
revenge to the Lord and how Christ-like that was. And. Well, let's see if David does it here.
Okay.
Go ahead and read 13.
David said to his men, each of you strap on your sword. So they did. And David strapped on his as well. About 400 men went up with David while 200 stayed with the supplies. Sounds like they're kind of going to war here.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. This is not a high moment for David, I don't think.
I think he let his anger get to him.
You know, he showed mercy and grace to Saul.
Yeah.
And he was right.
Right, he was.
But he really let the flesh fly on this one.
He did. He really did.
Basically, David was saying, lock and load, boys. Mount them up. We're going to fight it. And we're going
to. Here we go.
Yeah.
Mm.
He wasn't playing around.
He was not playing.
You know, Matthew 5:39 states that if someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also.
He's not
David
doing that.
David didn't do that here.
He's like, get your swords, guys. Here we go.
So about 400 men went with David.
Yeah.
Mm. They were going with him, and they were just going to
cut him up.
Cut him up.
Yep.
Buttercup. That just rhymed. It has nothing to do with it. Cut him up, buttercup.
All right.
Right him on, Tonto.
Okay, would you like me to continue reading?
14 through 17.
Okay. One of the servants told Abigail, Nabal's wife, David sent messengers from the wilderness to give our master his greeting, but he hurled insults at them. Yet these men were very good to us. They did not mistreat us, and the whole time we were out in the fields near them, nothing was missing. Night and day, they were a wall around us the whole time we were herding our sheep near them. Now, since it's over, and think it over and see what you can do, because disaster is hanging over our master and his whole household. He is such a wicked man that no one can talk to him.
Wow, this is his servant.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this guy was kind of a dictator, didn't listen to his servants. Otherwise, his servant would have talked to him instead.
Yeah, but no, they knew that he would not listen, and they wouldn't be able to reason with him. So they go to Abigail.
Yeah, and this, you know, there is the submission thing.
That was not protocol. That would not have been a normal thing to do.
You know, it is not biblical submission when your husband's abusive.
Right.
To submit.
Yeah.
And so Abigail, basically, this was kind of like that.
Yeah.
That, he was an abusive situation. Probably, mm-hmm. Matter of fact, we're going to find out a little bit. He was intoxicated.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He wasn't a good man.
No.
So the servant went to her to tell her, warn her, you know, this is what your despicable husband.
Right.
Did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Let's see what she says. Verse 18 through 20.
Abigail acted quickly. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 seas of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisins, and 200 cakes of pressed figs, and loaded them on donkeys. Then she told her servants, go on ahead, I'll follow you. But she did not tell her husband Nabal. As she came riding her donkey into a mountain ravine, there was David and his men descending toward her, and she met them. You can just see this in your mind, can't
you?
Yeah.
And you can hear her name is literally performing mm-hmm. here.
Yeah, definitely.
Joy.
Yeah.
She's bringing joy.
Yeah.
Bringing peace.
To stop destruction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she made haste. She went quickly.
Yeah.
And it says that she's a woman of good understanding. And we see that here. She was wise.
Yeah.
200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed.
Yeah.
100 clusters of raisins.
Mm-hmm.
And she knew
mm-hmm.
how to get a man. It was through food.
Yeah. Yeah.
Through
man.
His tummy.
Stomach. Yep.
Yeah.
That's right.
Go ahead and read 21 through 22. See what David says here.
David just said, it's been useless all my watching over this fellow's property in the wilderness so that nothing of his was missing. He has paid me back evil for good. May God deal with David, be it ever so severely, if by morning I leave alive one male of all who belong to him.
Mm-hmm.
Dun, dun.
So David vows he is repaying, you know, because Nabal repaid me evil for good.
Right.
He's going to take him out.
Mm-hmm.
And they would be all dead by morning.
Yes.
All right. Go ahead and 23 through 31.
23 through 31. When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed down before David with her face to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, pardon your servant, my lord, and let me speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say. Please pay no attention, my lord, to that wicked man Nabal. He is just like his name. His name means fool, and folly goes with him. And as for me, your servant, I did not see the man my Lord sent. And now, my Lord, as surely as the Lord your God lives and as you live, since the Lord has kept you from bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hands, may your enemies and all who are intent on harming my Lord be like Nabal. And let this gift which your servant has brought to my Lord be given to the men who followed you. Please forgive your servant's presumption. The Lord your God will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my Lord because you fight the Lord's battle, and no wrongdoing will be found in you as long as you live. Even though someone is pursuing you to take your life, the life of my Lord will be bound securely in the bundle of living by the Lord your God. But the lives of your enemies he will hurl away as from the pocket of a sling. When the Lord has fulfilled for my Lord every good thing he promised concerning him and has appointed him ruler over Israel, my Lord will not have on his conscience the staggering burden of needless bloodshed or of having avenged himself. And when the Lord your God has brought my Lord success, remember your servant. She said a mouthful, wow, didn't she? Yeah.
She is a...
Yep.
Yep.
She's laying it all out there. Yeah.
Definitely wise.
Yes.
And Abigail saw David, you know, it was a hilly terrain. She probably went under a cover of a hill.
Yeah.
And she probably remained hidden until David told her to get up and they were face to face.
Right, right.
She dismounted quickly from her donkey, fell on her face before David and bowed down. What was she showing here?
She was showing humility. Yeah. She was showing basically, my husband is a fool and I'm trying to, you know, recover that and see, you know, show you that we're not all like this, like him. We're not all fools.
And she didn't come as some rich, cocky privilege.
No, she bowed down to him. Yeah. She knew he was going to be king.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she obviously had a good relationship with God.
She did. And she's basically seeing that David's not in his right mind. And she's trying to calm him down and help him to really stop and think before he does something that could harm his future kingship.
And her first words to David, Abigail immediately took blame on herself.
Yeah. Yep. She did.
Isn't that Christ-like?
It is. It is.
She could have just blamed her husband.
Yep, she could have, but she did not. She took it upon herself.
And she didn't do this because she really believed she was guilty. She did this because she knew that David would punish her differently than her husband.
Right. And she did not want him to do something that could hinder him, I think.
If he would have wiped them off the map, that would have probably hindered his kingship.
Yes, absolutely.
His character.
Yes, yes.
Because he was flying off the...
He was flying off the handle. Yeah. He did not stop and think. Yeah.
And, and then she said, please let your maidservant speak. Asking for permission. Very polite.
Right.
And the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand.
Right.
She basically stated this because it was almost guided to David towards the suggested outcome.
Right.
It was almost like she was really bringing peace to the situation.
She was. She was.
Yeah.
She was coming in peace. Very, very. She really thought through these words before she said them. So probably while she's riding up there, she was thinking, now, what am I going to say? And God gave her the words.
You have Nabal, who's a fool, who's saying everything that comes to mind.
Right.
The Bible says where there's many words, sin is not far.
Right.
And then you have Abigail, who's thought through every word.
Yes.
Which is the personification, really, of wisdom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please forgive your maidservant of her sins.
Yeah. Yep.
So you look at this. And David's present anger and agitation, which is clearly a sin in David's part, she looks at Abigail, and you think this kind of softens his heart a little bit?
Oh, most definitely. I'm sure.
She reminded David that the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house. What was she saying there? She was saying that surely he will be king.
Yeah.
And she was reminding him of that.
Right.
A little pride.
There is a little pride there. There's a few little prods there.
She was basically saying without saying it, if you do this, what you want to do, you're going to ruin that.
And she's basically saying, remember who you are and whose you are. Yeah.
And then that this will be no grief to you, that you have bloodshed without cause. Then she openly, severely criticized her husband.
She did.
The scoundrel. Yeah. Nabal.
Yep. She did. Yeah. Oh, goodness.
Let your enemies and those who seek harm for my Lord be as Nabal.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty smart.
I don't think she had a happy marriage. Do you think she needs a marital counseling?
Bro, they should go to Dr. J.
Dr. J.
Dr. J is on the scene.
And she made herself available for David's future consideration.
Right.
I think it was more, what do you think this was about?
She was wanting to save her family, and she was wanting to honor the future king.
Well, we're going to see in a little bit what ends up happening.
Yeah, I don't want to give it away.
32 to 35.
David said to Abigail, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you today to meet me. May you be blessed for your good judgment and for keeping me from bloodshed this day, from avenging myself with my own hands. Otherwise, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has kept me from harming you, if you had not come quickly to meet me, not one male belonging to Nabal would have been left alive by daybreak." Then David accepted from her hand what she had brought him and said, "Go home in peace. I have heard your words and granted your request."
Yeah, blessed is the Lord God of Israel. And David realized he was in sin.
Yeah, he did.
And praised her, praised God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Smart. Very smart.
So David humbly took the lesson from the woman Abigail.
Yes, he did. He did.
For not allowing him to fall into the sin of bloodshed.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead and read 36 to 38.
When Abigail went to Nabal, he was in the house holding a banquet like that of a king. He was in high spirits and very drunk. So she told him nothing at all until daybreak. Then in the morning, when Nabal was sober, his wife told him all the things, and his heart failed him, and he became like a stone. About 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died.
So there he was, holding a feast in the house.
Yeah.
Nabal was living it up.
Yep.
I think of Jesus saying, "What if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Be like a fool, like Nabal."
Yeah, like Nabal. Yeah.
You know, his life was in imminent danger. He was being a fool.
Yes.
He was being a glutton and a drunkard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then his heart died within him.
Right.
And he became like stone. He basically, it sounds like he had a stroke.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yep.
And he died later.
Yep. 10 days later.
He died later on, as mm-hmm. we'll see.
Yep.
He did die.
Yeah, 10 days later.
So it was obviously a stroke, most likely.
Right.
Now go ahead, 39 through 44. This is pretty good.
All right.
Here comes the bride.
All right, here we go. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Praise be to the Lord, who has upheld my cause against Nabal for treating me with contempt. He has kept his servant from doing wrong and has brought Nabal wrongdoing down on his own head." Then David sent word to Abigail, asking her to become his wife. His servants went to Carmel and said to Abigail, "David has sent us to you to take you to become his wife." She bowed down with her face to the ground and said, "I am your servant and am ready to serve you and wash the feet of my Lord's servants." Abigail quickly got on a donkey and tended by her five female servants, went with David's messenger and became his wife. David had also married Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they both were his wives. But Saul had given his daughter Michal, David's wife, to Palatiel, son of Laish, who was from Gallim. Ooh, some tough words there.
"For the Lord has returned the wickedness of Nabal on his own head." You know, David knew this was a consequence of the judgment of God on Nabal.
Right. Yeah.
And then David sent and proposed to his wife.
Yep.
Abigail.
Mm-hmm. Go for his wife. Yep.
You know, now some people will say, wasn't this inappropriate? Because David was already married to Michal. And, God never endorsed polygamy.
Right.
He allowed it for a time. It's kind of like sometimes we don't automatically point out every sin in people.
Right. You're right.
If I'm helping someone, whether it's counseling or just witnessing to them.
Right.
There's some things you overlook.
Yes.
Yeah. You realize the person's cussing like a sailor. Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's why I'm talking to them about Jesus.
Yeah.
So God kind of did that with polygamy.
Yes.
It was not part of his plan. It was a sin.
Right.
But he allowed it for a period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And then it says he took Jezreel, took some other wives. This was not a good thing,
mm-hmm.
but he did it.
Right.
And so, yeah, the irony of it all is she ended up becoming David's wife.
Mm-hmm.
David obviously was, she really, really pressed David.
Yeah, she did. She really did.
You have anything you want to add to that?
No, I really like the story. And I like how the Lord doesn't just point out men in the Bible, that he points out yes. great and wonderful women as well. And I think that's really cool.
Well, yeah. You know, interesting enough, there were more women
mm-hmm.
at the resurrection of Jesus
yes.
than there were men.
You're right.
And, you know, the Samaritan woman was one of the first evangelists.
Very true.
And so, yeah, very I true. Think there is a pattern for how it's called ecclesiology.
Okay. Ooh,
church
big word.
Government.
Yeah.
You know, men are supposed to be the leaders, the pastors right. and whatnot.
Yeah.
But we should not forget that God uses and loves equally.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Women, and they yes. have a powerful impact.
Very true.
Just like you.
Well, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, sir. Thank yeah. you. You got some brand points there.
Oh, thank you. I'm not just sleeping outside with the dog.
Nope, not today. Not today. And I think this story also helps us remember that
God can absolutely positively, without a shadow of a doubt, take your mess, turn to a message for his glory, for your good.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great day. Goodbye.